There we go.
It's a verse about to come, dog. Where that lighter at, yo?
You
gotta hit the.
I talk a little lower.
All right, yo.
About to give us those Jada Kiss bars. Yeah, oh, man. Did y'all see that verse?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my God. That shit was legendary, dog.
I was on the plane, so I couldn't see it.
Yeah, I don't see parts of it. But
you got to watch the run. The replay is still just as good, yo. Like, dog, that shit.
I think I'm going to just watch all the Locks parts because I heard that was terrible.
Like, I think something was wrong with Juelz dentures. Like, yo, he was not rapping at all, like, at the beginning. I think he had to, like...
The glue wasn't tight. It was still wet.
Yeah. Wow. He had on a bunch of clothes. He looked like the hottest nigga in the room. He had on 5 jackets. Wow. He tried his best to look like he was back in 2005. He tried his best, yo.
It's so sad, because at one point, Juelz was, like, possibly about to be the next best rapper, and then he just went gone.
Hey. Yeah, no, like, when Juelz was coming up, we thought, like, yo, he up next.
Yeah.
Like, yo, like right after Cam.
I'm sure they had a lot of swag though.
They did, but they had 2005 swag.
I mean, that's the swag they had. Swag. That's Dipset swag.
Like, did you see the clips of Cam'ron in like he was in a beach chair, but a full sweatsuit with Tim's?
Oh shit!
Like, I'm like, this is the most 2005 New York shit I've ever seen.
Only thing I seen was Jim Jones falling off the stage or something.
And he had on leather pants.
I heard that he
like Rick James.
I heard that he stopped the whole verses for someone to put a chain on him.
He did. Mm-hmm. He was like right before. I think it was right before Ballin'. Right before he did, it's like, yeah, come up, put a shade. Someone, I think it was Styles P, was like, that's corny.
Styles P. Oh, man. All right, man. We back, yo. We back for another episode of What's Good Bro Podcast. Yep, got the good brothers right here in the building. We got Dre over there.
What's good, y'all?
And we got Jay right beside me.
Peace and blessings, brother.
And we got Sonny D in the building.
What's good?
Hey, and Coach K right here. Man, ready for another good topic and conversation. This is definitely a good one, man. I really don't know how we can even do an introduction to this topic. So we're just going to go into see how everybody been. Yeah.
Look, we look like endangered species right now for a reason.
Right.
That goes into our subject. Look, I'll see.
Go ahead, you can say
it. Are black men protected?
Our black men protected. Yo, this is going to be a good one.
We did our nod, like, you know, protect black women, but our black men protected.
What about us? Yeah. All right, before we get into that, yo, we just got to check in with each other, man. So what's been good with y'all? It's been a minute. Anybody want to start it off?
Hey, man, you know, I've been doing all right. Glad to be working. Glad to be, you know, in good health. Glad to be here today. You know, I'm amped and ready for the subject, but nothing really new is going on. Just still working on the same old stuff. Still doing my voiceover work. I talked to another company not too long ago about doing a commercial. It should be an IG commercial.
Hey.
But I'm trying to see how legit it is. It's definitely not like a big company.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you start off on 2K and you get those small
endorsements, yeah, the local ones.
Yeah, like this is like one of those. So I'm still trying to figure out if it, like I talked to a voice on the phone, so I haven't even seen a face. So I'm like, all right, we going to see what this is going, but we going to try to truck through it.
Yeah, man. See what experience you can get from it for real.
Exactly.
I feel that.
They got to cut the check first, though.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's my voice right there, son.
Hell yeah. They my voice. Hell, man. Dre, what's up with you?
Oh, man. When's the last time? I feel like it's been a month since we recorded.
It feel like it.
It's been a minute. So, damn, what's happened? I went to Florida for a week.
How was
family
that?
Reunion. It was hot as hell.
Yeah, it was.
Which it's even though Florida's like open, a lot of the businesses are kind of restricted. At least, like, we went down to Ocean Drive, and it's nothing like the last time we went. Nothing like the last time we went.
Are they feeling the Delta down there, or they just they got a change of heart? What's going on? Florida not Florida anymore?
So Florida in general is Floriding. Like, I didn't see a mask except for the airport.
Okay.
Because it's like a federal place, so everyone has to wear a mask in the airport. But outside of the airport, no one had a mask on. But, like, the bars are just restaurants. So it's kind of like here where it's, like, normally the bars would just be, like, people walking around drinking the restaurant. So you kind of had to sit at a table almost everywhere you went.
Okay. Yeah, the last time I went to Florida, I went in with a mask, and a bartender looked disgusted. She was like, "This is Florida. You don't have to do that here." I'm like, "What if I want to feel safe? Like, you're so selfish. Like, I don't want your corona."
They're like, "The sun's so strong." But this is the first time I actually got sunburned.
Oh, word?
This is the first time I ever got sunburned down there. So damn. I was on the beach a lot.
Black people got to wear sunscreen too, y'all.
Yeah, I learned that.
Jay, man, what's up with you?
For me, I've just been doing a lot of spiritual work.
Okay.
You know, thumbing through the Bible a little bit. You know, doing some soul searching. Not saying that it was lost or anything like that, but just really getting back to the swing of things, continuing to grow, but this time working on it spiritually. So getting a much more spiritual awakening, just been taking a step back. Just opening up that third eye a little bit more.
That's what's up.
Yeah, I definitely respect that, man. Get that good word in, for sure.
And you, Mr. Calvin, you've been on the move.
I've been on big moves, yo. It's been love, man. I've come back feel rejuvenated, you know, refreshed and everything like that. Went on a cruise, my first cruise at that.
Okay.
So that was big love, man. Big love.
How long
you enjoyed the cruise?
I did. It was 7 days. Made like 3 stops.
Ooh, damn.
The cruise was long, yeah.
Where'd y'all stop at?
Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic,
ooh,
and then Jamaica.
That's a good lineup.
Like, we went zip lining. So that was adventurous.
He's up in the tree.
Yeah, who idea was that? You?
Nah, it was my idea. I rode with it.
No man's idea. Yeah. All right,
let's go zip lining. You'll enjoy it.
Okay.
Let's go to our subject. Like, put my life in danger.
Put this man in danger.
But we survived, though. We survived. I mean, I would definitely try to go on some more cruises, man. That the food, the atmosphere, it was all love, man. And then no COVID cases broke out, so it was nice and safe too. So,
and that's fortunate, because you know that's something that I worry about. If you know, if I decide to go out of the country, COVID happens, like, what am I supposed to tell my employer if something happens and I have to stay, I can't come back?
Yeah. But I say they were definitely like real strict on wearing the mask, especially when you got off, and then if he wasn't vaccinated, like when you get back on the ship, you had to go to some extra stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then before you got on the ship, you had to get another COVID test. So
they wasn't playing.
Yeah, they wasn't playing games at all. Mm-hmm. But that was
it good. Was definitely not Rolling Loud.
Yeah, Rolling Loud was crazy.
Yeah. Other than that, man, yeah, I'm back feeling good, you know, back to work, trying to get back in the groove, man. Excited to be here with y'all and chop it up. So y'all ready to get into this?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good one. Let's get into it.
All right, that's a bet. So the question, the topic of today is, are black men protected?
Hell no.
This was polled in our chat a little bit earlier, maybe like last week or so, I don't know. And it was a quick consensus, like, nah,
like,
overall, I don't think so. But I think we really gotta chop it up and, you know, maybe explain why we feel that way, or, you know, why is that for real?
Well, you gotta look at it like from the landscape. Like, we're really trickling down like an endangered species. Like, we're taking that route. Like, the amount of black men dead, the amount of black men incarcerated.
Yeah.
Excuse me. All of that.
That gum is doing its work.
I know, right?
We're on the media.
Yeah, man. You know, let me take a sip. But it's like if you take the death toll and the incarceration rate, that in itself speaks to like how protected are we? Like, there's so many things against, you know, against black people. Like, you know, we have to deal with racism from other culture, from other cultures, from the majority and other minorities. We have to deal with our own problems within our own community, against one another, black men on black men, black men, black women. Like, we deal with that. And then it's just like, you think about the conflicts that lead to incarceration and death. Like, what are those situations? Like, when you're talking about, when you're talking about death or incarceration, one, a lot of times it involves a police officer. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it involves another black man. And then a lot of times it can be centered around a problem involving a woman.
Yeah.
Well, Tay Tay from across the street said this shit. I need you to handle it. Yeah. I need you to handle this on my behalf. Mm-hmm. What the hell do you expect me to go and do? Well, I might die today, but, you know, I'm doing my job as a man. I might die doing this stuff just to protect my honor, but that is a lot of reasons why a lot of dudes are dead or in jail over their pride, over either a girl they're dealing with, their woman, their wife, or whatever. That is a situation. Uh-huh. So I want to touch on that. Like, what can be done to further protect black men? We've had the conversation about black women. Let's go into black men. Like, what can be done as black men to protect ourselves? And then what can the people who we call loved ones, like, or people who claim to care about us, do to maybe protect us, maybe to keep us productive on the outside? Like, you know, we all got jobs. We're all productive members of society. We want the vast majority of black people to continue that route and to continue to be productive members of society and grow our community and be leaders in our community. We can't do that under the ground or in a cage.
Absolutely right.
I don't know. Are black men protected? No. I don't, especially not in America. Maybe other countries. Maybe. But definitely not here. In terms of protection, I don't know if it's tied between, if black women are protected more than black men. Probably a little bit more, but also
they're protected from death more.
I'd like to say it depends on what you.
That was my next question. Like, what do y'all see as protection?
Right.
Are we talking about just physical protection, or are we talking about
incarcerated at a higher rate and we're killed at a higher rate? They're raped more.
Are we talking about just physical protection, or are we talking about just overall protection?
Yeah.
So both black women and black men, like, can suffer from, like, massively different faces than any other demographic, mm-hmm. like, any other, right? So, like, if you're talking about rape, you're talking about, like, black women most likely to get, like, to be in a situation like that, or domestic abuse, like, in a lot of cases. But when you talk about actual full-on death or, like, incarceration, that's black men all day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, so there's levels to this. There's, you know, it splits off. Like, there's certain cases. So I don't want to say, like, hey, you know, and this is the touchy part. There are situations in which black women are most in danger. There are also situations in which black men are most in danger. And that's what I'm looking to touch on.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, when you look at, like, the demographics in prison, like, you basically, you see most of our guys there. That's why when they talk about, like, oh, the black women outnumber the black men so much, they're not including the numbers of men incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, what can they do in a cage?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's why, like if you want to ask the question, like, I think we are more likely to be in danger as far as not being available, like, mm-hmm. not being alive or not being free.
Yeah.
That is our burden. Like, we are the most likely not to have either of those two conditions. You know, that's why you got dudes, and I'm saying, like, look, I'm from the suburbs, but you got dudes in a lot of urban areas, hood areas, who talking about it's a blessing to make it to 25. Nobody should be talking about it being it is a blessing, but still, it's just like, you shouldn't be in fear of going out of your house to make it past to 25. And you don't really hear that from the women. You hear that from the men, because the men know that I'm probably going to have to do something to protect my pride or my status as a real nigga or as a man or as anything, and it may cost me my life, but in their mind, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's nobody, Like, you know, there's no, you know, there's no, like, there's not a community. Like, and my biggest thing is that there's not a community, including women, that say, like, no, knucklehead, don't go out there and do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or
the woman. I don't know if that's true. I think there is a community that says that, but you can't. There's a, when it comes to protecting another person, there's only so much you can do. You can, a lot of protection is really preventative measures of like going towards violence. So you can do a lot to prevent it, but if that person is hard-headed, mm-hmm. it's only so much that you can do. Like at some point we have to protect our, like you have to protect yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you don't heed the advice of wiser people, that's any violence that you face, it is your fault.
Well, on a deeper spiritual level, us as black men in general, we can say black community. I don't believe there is a black community because without the unity, you know, there is no community. Mm-hmm. But spiritually, we are being punished. And if you put 400 years of slavery in this conversation or this discussion that we're having, it changes the narrative because we have a 400 year disadvantage, and so we're here navigating a world that we know nothing about. So now getting into the protection part, it's very hard for us to protect because we can't navigate our surroundings and grow together as a unit to tell each other, hey, listen, you know, I want to see you win just like I'm winning. You know, it's a dog-eat-dog world in the black community.
The crab barrel.
Yeah, it's a crab. Yeah, crab in the barrel theory. But protection? No, because we have to protect ourselves from our family. This is not stuff that a lot of different race and ethnicities, excuse me, go through. If you think about it like this, there's a individual listening to this who his mother told him that he wasn't going to be shit. He's gonna be just like his father. Why? Because she's hurt by that man. You know what I'm saying? So now he doesn't. This man has no protection from his wife. He has no protection from the government, which you shouldn't. You see what I'm saying?
And in the situation, it sounds like he don't have protection from his mama.
Exactly. Right. Well, no, I'm saying the father. I was gonna get to the son, but the son definitely. You have no protection because your mother knows not to talk bad about your father to you, and even worse, she doesn't know better than to talk bad about you. You know what I'm saying? These things we have to keep in mind that the black man has grown up not being protected his whole life. Now, then you expect him to go in a world full of lies. You see what I'm saying? And deceit. And he has to try to figure out how he can survive. Now, last but not least, when I say had to protect ourselves from our family, I'm talking about us as a whole. I'm growing past this, I should say this. But growing up, I never really feared the white man. I feared my own, my own race of man. Mm. You know, now I'm looking, maturing more. I'm saying to myself, hey, you know, he's not the enemy here. Right. But you got to ask yourself how many other black men feel that way, and then, you know, just getting on to I'll say the topic of females, you know, our black females, they don't have our backs either because they've seen us, they witness us be basically deceived. So how can they protect that?
I have an example for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. So I didn't know if you were done. Yo, how many of y'all watch Power?
I watch Power.
No, never seen it.
You never seen Power?
You know, me and Curtis Jackson don't really get along.
This don't make sense, yo. All
right, but you gonna know this example.
All right.
Did Tasha protect Ghost?
Nah.
Hell no. Nah. He wanted ghosts. She wanted ghosts to stay in the streets and get that street money.
I think that's a perfect example.
Bro, is that, I don't know who Ghost is, but is it... Shouldn't go with
Omari Hardwick.
All right,
but
go
my thing is,
oh, you being a smart
if,
ass.
If we okay. put no, if we putting ourselves in positions to not be protected, why are we blaming other people for not protecting us? Everyone is not a protector.
In that situation, though, Ghost was, even though he was in the game, mm-hmm. he was making a plan to get out the game. Mm-hmm. And when he was making his plan to get out the game, his wife...
not his girl, his wife.
Yeah, she was like, no, like, this is what we do. You stay in this game and, you know, put your life on the line for the family.
Hear my take on it.
Take penitentiary chances as opposed to going legit.
Hear my take on it. So when it comes to Tasha being his wife, it's more so on a spiritual level. She has that Jezebel energy, that Jezebel spirit, you know. And y'all know the term. Y'all know the saying. You cannot turn a hoe into a housewife.
Right.
And you know, she had hoe tendencies. The moment that goes into that toxic relationship stuff we were talking about last time. They were doing tit for tat. He cheated on her. So she, what she do? She go fuck his driver. Now, he
she did.
Yeah.
And so
it definitely happened.
What I'm saying to you is he did lack discernment because he turned that hoe into the housewife. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And like you said, everyone isn't a protector. Mm-hmm. Damn sure not your woman. You know what I'm saying? But he had met, this is a side note, he had met someone who believed in him.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of what she only can see surface level of what he was, which was a drug dealer, but he wanted to be so much more.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so he met someone of his past, someone was a crush, and
Valdez. What's her first name? Forgot her.
Angela.
Yeah, Angela Valdez. Which she was much more attractive, but she had that energy. It's all an energy thing. She had that energy that she wanted to help and she wanted to encourage him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So every time he got with her, it was more, it showed him what he did not have at home.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll ask her the same questions that
his wife.
Yeah, and that was the problem. So no, she did not protect him. She was protecting herself.
But I think that's also just like a good example of, you know, men want to being protected. It's you are protecting yourself by choosing the right person that's going to, you know, support you in the way that you want to be supported.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the biggest key for a man to just to feel protected.
I think what men got to understand is like we got to, and I really thought about this. Some women can be selfish but giving. So, like, selfish is, like, giving is, like, okay, I'm very giving with tangible, like, tangible things. Selfish is a mindset. I care about what's in my best interest in my mind, but I'm giving you tangible things. Mm-hmm. And that could be a thing, like, men, women, everybody's subject to it. But you see that a lot in relationships, whereas someone could be looking out for their, like, on surface level. So, giving is surface level, but as far as your livelihood, your health, everything like that, like something that I expect my woman to keep in mind. Like, yo, like, you know, I want you to care about how I'm doing, where my mental's at. I don't need you to protect me physically. Right. It's all mental.
Yeah.
Because even like women are so important in our development throughout our lives or even as adults when we interact with them, because here's the thing. If we pick somebody to be our wives or whatever, we confide in them for a lot of stuff subconsciously. Like, you don't even know that you're doing mm-hmm. it. So whatever energy they give back and it's genuine energy, that's going to impact you on a day-to-day basis. And that will help you determine whether it's like, okay, this woman is a plus or a minus, mm-hmm. Or whether I can do bad all by myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's mental. It's not physical protection. So I want to say that as well. It's all about the mindset. Are you the type of person who says, like, look, I need you to constantly put yourself in dangerous situations on my behalf that could put your life in danger? Oh, yeah, I'm going to constantly, like, I don't care what you put in your body. So I don't care about your temple. I don't care about any of that. Like, I'm just going to give you stuff just to give you the perception of caring. Or is she someone who's like, okay, like, look, all right, you like, your energy's off today, you look a little bit down, you know, based on how you act, I'm going to either give you, you know, emotional love, or I'm going to give you space. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, just so you can get through to the next day. Because it be like that sometimes. Sometimes, you know, as a man, especially as a black man in America, you got so much weight pushing down on your shoulders, you're not allowed to express that amongst other men because mm-hmm. there's a perception that, yo, don't be soft, don't be like this. Like, nigga, what you doing? Suck that shit up. And then there's one person who you usually, like, vent in that way too.
Because it's a dangerous world we living in. And so we're trying to prepare younger black males, which is not the right way to go about it, but we're trying to prepare them for a world that don't,
harsh
don't
world.
Yeah, a harsh world that really doesn't give a fuck about you. Yeah. So I get what you're saying, brother. I do.
I definitely agree. Yeah, the world don't care.
It's mental. It's like that, and that's something you need to peep. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, she, you know, is she feeding you like fried chicken, pork, all that type of stuff? Yeah, this will make him happy. Yeah, mm-hmm. I can get what I want. I mm-hmm. get that. I get that jewelry. We go on a trip. I want
high blood pressure.
But see, that's when that discernment kicks in. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You gotta. In times like this, I do urge people to get in touch with their spiritual side, their higher self. I'll say the higher version of self. You know, whatever it is
spiritual
you believe,
J.
Yeah, whatever it is you believe in, whether it's the universe or the Most High, this is the perfect time to learn who you are as a person, so that you won't find yourself in these type of situations in the first place.
Yeah, especially, you know, now that outside is, you know, slowly back open and everybody out here having a good time, you gonna meet yourself somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want it to always just be off front, just off the looks and the attraction to them. You really mm-hmm. gotta take time to understand people's values and stuff like that before really getting in that relationship.
How well put together can you be before going into a relationship? We're imperfect creatures. So I think people talk about, oh, go to therapy before you meet me. Do this before you meet me. How perfect do you need to be before you go into a situation?
Well, there's no such thing as perfect, but
mm-hmm. you know, like, I ask that question all the time.
Do you think there's a problem with someone asking you to go to therapy before you start dating them? Mm.
Well, I think there's a certain level of expectation. I could go to therapy and it may not be enough for you. Like, you know, you specifically.
Why am I going to therapy?
You know
why
what I'm saying?
Why am I spending my money?
Because you're traumatized. And you don't even know.
You don't even know what I'm saying. Like,
I feel like everybody's
but I'm
traumatized.
Saying, mm-hmm. But
mm-hmm. you black, nigga. Of course you're traumatized.
Yeah, but just being stuck in your trauma is not.
Okay. Yeah.
Being stuck in your trauma is not a good excuse, because if you're not working through your issues, like you dealing with your shit now. Mm-hmm. It's not fair for you to go into a relationship imagine if you wasn't dealing with your shit and you try to go into a serious relationship. Eventually, at some point, you're going to fuck up, hurt yourself, and end up hurting that person.
Good point.
They're trying to not get hurt.
Yeah.
I don't think you go into a relationship expecting to get hurt.
Yeah. I understand that part, but I don't think asking for therapy off jump is
For everyone's healing is different.
Yeah.
So for them, they might say, oh, I went to therapy, it helped me, I need another person to do that. But therapy might not work for you.
Right.
Therapy might not work for me. Right. So you got to have some way of dealing with your shit outside of just drugs and alcohol.
That's
or partying. Like, it's got to be a healthy way that you're dealing with your shit.
That's real.
I agree with you, right? So that question set up another question, right? There's a thing in which a man must come as a man, of course, like, you know, be a man, but there's always like a certain, you can tell me if I'm using this word, like that caveat that you, oh, don't come with your drama, don't come with, mm-hmm. you know, these issues that you had since you were with these mommy issues or daddy issues or whatever mm-hmm. issues you have. But there's a thing that's the expectation for the man to come in. And then the woman's expectation is take me as I am.
Yeah, the expectations are different.
Take
You're
me
right.
as I yeah. am. Like,
but I think even for
all.
Us, we want you to take me as I am.
Right.
But
you could take me as I am, but I'm still working on myself.
But take me as I am, and if part of as I am isn't I'm trying to fix as I was, mm-hmm. then that's different. Like, of course, you want someone to take you as you are. But I think the narrative is where, I think on both sides, the narrative is always, I want you to take me as I am, and we're expecting someone else to come through with no baggage, but our expectations are just wildly inaccurate. Or with those expectations, you're either not going to meet someone, or you're going to get tired of having those high expectations or those impossible expectations that you're going to settle for some bullshit anyway.
Mm-hmm. I challenge that, right? So I challenge your point there. Only because I think dudes are a lot more truthful with each other, whereas I think...
I think that's a lie.
Yeah. Yo,
continue. Go ahead.
You know how many times me and Twan have been called fat ass on this damn podcast? Like, we're very truthful with each other. Whereas, let me just make the point, whereas you can have a girl who's fucking 350 and they'd be like, oh, girl, you just thick. That's what her echo chamber is telling her. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm telling you.
I mean, that's a bad group of friends.
Exactly, but we're friends.
But also, I think women are more accepting. Women accept women as they are.
What did you say?
Women accept other women as they are because they're not expecting like a certain type of intimacy with women.
Low key, I think, and this is from a man's perspective, so please don't bash me. But I think women are way more petty when it comes to their friends. I think women will let their friends go out looking like a lot of women.
Their friends are not their legit. They're not their friends. They're just associates. They like to go out together and they have fun together. But that doesn't mean that they're actually friends.
I've talked about it before. This is not jokes, but if it's funny, it's funny. How many times you done seen some like overweight girl and some shit that she should never put on, and she got a crew of friends around her
encouraging, taking pictures.
They are not your friends. They're not your friends.
Every group of females need that one ugly girl in the group to make themselves feel better.
Exactly. So they are selfish.
Especially when they all single, it's like, oh, I'm not gonna hang around certain people because they gonna get more attention.
Well, let me just
Good. But I think people in general are really selfish, but men, we have like way bigger egos than women do. That's why we can hang around a whole bunch of people that we think look better than us or whatever. Because men, we still think, oh, I got enough game that I'm still gonna pull the girl more than you. Yeah. Whereas women, they're like, oh no, I know she look better than me, and I'm not gonna be around her as much because I want more attention than her.
Yeah,
I think we joke, but there's truth in our jokes. Like, nigga, what the fuck you got on, nigga? That shit look crazy. Put something else on. Like, you know, like that. It's clowning, but it's like, go put something else on.
You looking out?
Like, go put something else on before we head out here. You look crazy.
Look, shame is not always a bad thing.
It's not, and men have mastered that. When you grow up, you joking with your friends. You tell your friends, but it's like, yo, if I'm calling you a fat ass, go run on the treadmill.
Yeah, but I think sometimes we could be a little bit too hard. Like, or we'll do all the shaming, but then we don't do the uplifting. All we hear is like the negative shit, and we don't think, oh damn. And for some people, they're not strong enough where that shit gets to them and they just get depressed.
I can admit that's almost like some yin and yang shit. Like,
you gotta have both.
Side,
yeah,
we're on one side of the spectrum; they're on the complete other side. Yeah. But I think it with them is I truly believe this. We live in a realm of reality where sometimes they can go into delusion,
guys. Women and men are two totally different things. We're not equal. You see what I'm saying? So you can't hold. You cannot hold a woman accountable like you hold a man accountable. So how we operate in spectrum, like you said, men are logic, women are emotion. So they don't think the world, they feel it. They think with their hearts, which I understand, I accept them for who they are as individuals. But us as men, we hold ourselves accountable, just like you said. If you had to lose a couple of LBs, we gonna call you a fat ass. With her, they use stuff like body shaming and things of that nature. Yeah. They try to big themselves up.
Yeah.
To get collectively, we don't do that as men. Yeah, so
the feminist movement.
Yeah. So get back to the protection thing. When are we going to stand up for black men? Not black lives. Not African American. Black men.
Yeah.
When are we going to do that?
That's.
Let me ask this to everybody. As an individual, do you feel protected?
No. But I mean, protected by the Most High and myself. Yeah.
That's one thing. It's like when we first started, initiating this topic, I was like, protected as a man, like what would make me feel protected as a man?
Because ooh, that's a great question.
It's like originally I'm thinking I'm protected really just by my family, my faith, and if I need to get some guns, I can get some guns. Mm-hmm. You know, that's like my level of protection. But then I could also, you know, it's really about your relationships around you, mm-hmm. I think, that will make you feel protected or not, and how you really can change that.
Men are the protectors, though.
Right.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, man. And I don't mean to, like, kind of, you know, take a negative turn to it. But, like, when you walk out that door, you could be doing something completely innocent. And because your skin is almost like a scarlet, like, you know, a scarlet letter, like, on your back, that's not protection. So that's what I really mean. I'm like, can I ever truly feel protected? Probably not. Only because I'm like, you know, you got... And like, you know, and I believe God has a plan. God has a reason for everything. You have the most praying, the most God fearing people. They die the next day and it's a part of God's plan. So I don't feel like I'm protected in my life. I feel like I'm protected in my spirit through my faith. But that doesn't mean I can't die the next day because I'm praying all the time.
I mean, you gotta die
one day. I'm not afraid of death. That's not.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm protected in my spirit, not in body. Yeah. So when I'm talking about body, hell no. When I'm talking about my physical presence, no. Spirit, I think I'm solid. Like, you know what I'm saying? But that's because of the environment I'm in. I'm in a dangerous environment existing as an endangered species. I don't care what anybody says. The black man is an endangered species. You know, we're constantly targeted, where our numbers are dwindling compared to our female counterparts within the same race. Like, the disparities are getting bigger.
Yeah.
You know, between black women and black men, how many black men are there for each black woman? You know? So, like, we're in a dangerous species, so my body doesn't feel protected, but that's just because of my environment.
Right. And, I mean, do you feel like that's going to ever change?
No.
Like, the environment of what we are in?
No.
At least in our lifetime?
It's going to be a different problem.
That's a great question. That last bit, and I got to shout somebody out. I got to shout Sticks out for this. I got to shout him out because we had a conversation and he kind of led the conversation. It will take three unselfish generations for us to see the change that we envision that we dream about.
Yeah.
So we will not. It can exist, but we won't live to see it.
Yeah.
And if we can accept that, it will happen for our descendants.
And it'll be a totally different problem. When that comes about, we'll have a totally we're gonna be worried about something totally different, you know. So, and yes, I agree, three generations, but the problems that we had today, that we face today, is going to innovate.
Yeah, I definitely feel you on that. It's always going to innovate, elevate. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of off topic, but it just made me think of it. Well, Boosie post, you know, he was saying like 10 years from now.
Ooh, you gonna say it?
I mean, I
talk about it.
You gonna say it?
I don't know
exactly how you said it, but he was basically saying like 10 years from now, being a straight man is like, it's gonna be rare.
Mm-hmm.
So kids are gonna grow up and, you know, they're gonna be more interested in the same sex.
Mm.
Producer, we gotta clip this up, man. This is some good stuff.
I don't know where does Boosie get these ideas from?
I think it's accurate.
I mean,
just because Lil Nas X is popular, or like,
I don't know where he was.
I think it's accurate.
I don't know where people get this idea that gay people are taking over the world. Like, I don't see it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just the more, I guess, you see it, and especially as kids and being, mm-hmm. they're so impressionable, it's like, you know, they're going to see that and, you know, their mind is going to
Because culture's changing.
Yeah.
Culture's changing. Okay. So that's where we're getting this idea from. It's not out of thin air. It's because the norm, like, think about when we went to high school to when our parents went to high school. Like, think about you could see it in the kids, right? Yeah. So the norm was they probably would have beat a gay dude half to death when my parents or grandparents went to school. Like, oh, like, beat him to death.
Word.
And then we made fun of gay kids, like, and you know, I'm ashamed to say it, but they would get clowned. They would get clowned for being gay, and they would be shunned, but we wouldn't beat them up, but they would just get shamed. Mm-hmm. Now you got them in the coolest circles. They're in a space in which they are prominent figures in high school, and they're not being judged, and they're being raised up, and mm-hmm. you know, they're that. So it's a natural progression of stuff of acceptance over time. So what Bootsy is saying is saying that, like, yo, based on this pattern, which I don't think he was that thorough or thought out, but I was.
It's Bootsy.
I was thought out about it. Mm. Like, over time, it can happen that, like, look, if you not bi, what you doing, nigga? Oh, you only fuck women, nigga? You only fuck women? You don't take a little dick every now and then? It might be like that.
But who's to say that it wasn't like that before? It's just now that it's just because it's normal now doesn't mean it wasn't happening back then. Well, it just it had to happen underground.
There's an actual documented time period where this was actually very normal during like Greek times, like during Greek and Roman times. That was very normal.
Nothing's new.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like, just because it might have been shunned doesn't mean that it still wasn't happening. Like, now that we're accepting it, which we should just, I mean, I'm not saying that, I don't know, because I don't really think that you can make someone gay. I don't think that. Like, yeah. I think some people are just more explorative, and now that being able to explore your sexuality is more accepted,
right,
people are going to explore it.
For me, I'm not saying like, that people's natures are changing. I'm not saying that people's natures, okay, let me put it to you like this. Are you ready for something?
We ready. Mm-hmm.
All right, this is going to sound ridiculous. I think in the future, we may be old as dirt. I think people are going to straight shame.
Straight shame?
Straight shame. I think it's coming. We may be old. How dare, like, yo, yo, you can't sit with us. You just straight, yo.
Honestly, yo, it's no way to.
That's how ridiculous.
It's against the natural order.
Yeah, it's against. I don't see it. I just don't see it.
If that's the case, then the reproduction isn't going to be moving.
About,
as rap.
That's why I said
it is
bye.
About that. Yeah. So
but they're going to be
producing. They're still going to be reproducing. But it's like you only like
let me speak.
Go ahead, Errol. Go ahead. Right.
What I'm saying though is the fact that they're pushing this new narrative. What used to be frowned upon is now glorified. They're trying to change the natural order, whereas we no longer see gender. Yeah. They're trying to make transgender bathrooms. So again, if it's right or wrong, it's still going to happen. I do believe there's some truth in what you're saying. I do believe that eventually it's they're going to try to shame you for being a certain way. But
I'm just talking about cultural norms of the time.
My thing is they're trying to shove it down your throat. Like you should be okay with us going against the natural order. It's bigger than what we're looking at surface level. Well, go ahead.
Always is.
Well, I'm not like, and once again, so I don't get canceled before my time.
Before your time. Like, it's
before
coming,
my time, yo. I'm not saying anything is right or wrong. I'm talking about cultural progression over time.
Right.
That's all I'm detailing. At one point, gay people were ashamed. At some point, it may be the opposite only because of a natural progression. I'm not saying one is right. I'm not saying one is wrong. All I'm saying is that I see that as a pattern. There was gay shaming, and then it was both gay and straight acceptance. Then there might be the opposite side of that spectrum. That's all I'm saying as far as the timeline. I think we may be old as dirt or in the ground, but it may happen that way. So I'm just saying culturally that may be the norm.
And three generations, yeah.
And right. That's why I think, you know, family values are the key. Like at the end of the day, I feel like the media, you know, they're gonna do what they can to mess with your head and the way you move in the world, you know. But when you got a solid foundation of family and your maybe your friends too, like you gotta stick to the core. Because the world definitely going to try to move you the way they can.
And that's exactly how we protect ourselves.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of sad to hear that none of y'all feel. I feel protected. It's not a day that I wake up and leave my house that I actually think that I'm going to see violence. Well, that violence will come to me.
Right.
Not a day that I leave my house.
It's all about the mindset, like, you know, what you expect or what you believe that could happen. I feel like it could be easy just because of the media. Like, if you really just stay tuned on your phone or just watching the news, I can you know, feel how you can walk out the house and be like, all right, you know what I gotta do to make sure this is not my last day type shit. You know, so I can understand that thought, but also you just being grounded in faith, I feel like you can still go out your house and move with confidence, because, you know, even if this is my day, I'm gonna do it with purpose, you know.
Well, yeah, I agree with that part. Like, and my whole thing is, like I said, I'll say it again, it's spirit protected, body not so much. And that's right. Because, like, look, like, you know, we dark skinned brothers, and I'm also a larger dude, and I have friends that are bigger than me, and we've been in situations, even at the Berg, like whereas you may run into a person and they may see you and then they may size you up and then look at your skin tone and assume something before you even open your mouth. And that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like me as a person. Like, you know, I played football since I was a sophomore in high school. So I've always been a big guy, and I'm also a dark skinned guy. So when I go into certain dynamics, when I go into certain even neighborhoods where, like, even certain, like, neighborhoods where, like, let's say I may have a look on my face. If I go into a white area, I look like a threat. If I go into, like, a hood area, it's like, what you want to do? So then I'm like, damn. And then I look at, you know, and then the police come by, I look like a suspect.
Yeah.
So when I think about that trio of things that I have going, it's just like, you know, I'm not... I fight with this constantly, and I'm being like, you know, a bit vulnerable here, because I go to my job every day like, hello, John. Hey, how you doing? Hey, all right. Is anything going on? All right.
Right.
Have a great day. All right. Just to put the guard down, like, hey, look, I'm not about to pop a cap in your ass,
right,
and I'm not about to do this. You know, like, it that's kind of, and it's like, I'm fighting with it, like, yo, is this
wrong? You fight with yourself with that.
I am. And it's like something like, I think about it because, and I'm being truthful, because it's something as a black person, when you're in certain environments, it's like, yeah, say be, like, you know, like, just, I'm proper, but I take it a little bit further just to be like, hey, look.
Yeah. When you walk in the room, you say hi to everybody. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Make sure everybody see that you on a good beat. And yeah. You don't want no
even if you're on
even if you're having the worst day.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you got to do all of that and then come home and have to fight your wife. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think we got to change.
So it's
it's awkward that we can say in a relationship that we want to be accepted as we are, but then we go into, like, the workplace and we don't. Well, we change ourselves to be accepted. I think we got to change the way that we move outside of when we're dealing with black people. Because I think we really fighting with ourselves. We really end up having two personalities, which we clashing at all times. Right. Where if we got to change the way we are outside of the black community, when we get back into the black community, it's a transition period that you kind of have to, you can't just click on and off like that. It's you slowly gradually get into whatever your black personality is versus your white person or whatever, like, you want to call it.
It's a little off topic, but this is like an example of, like, code switching. So do y'all feel like code switching?
What's that?
So,
like, when Sonny was saying, he's like,
don't turn it off. Yeah. Oh, okay, turn it on.
Yeah. I'll do it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so it's like when you code switching, is that really helping anybody? Is that a benefit?
It's a professional benefit, but I'm not in the business of making white people comfortable by me being uncomfortable. I'm a walk into any room as me. If you accept me, then that's fine. But if you don't, then I don't need to be here.
I don't do it for white people. I do it for me. So I do it like I would.
You change yourself for you?
For the advancement?
I change my voice. I don't change me. I change my voice. So, like, basically,
what's wrong,
like,
with your normal voice?
Here's the thing, right? So, and I see what you're saying. If I get pulled over by a police officer, right? And there's nothing wrong with my voice. I think my voice is great. I think it's great. But when we say stuff like, oh, it's great to be yourself. And I'm gonna address this. I'm gonna address it, right? It's great to be yourself. It's great to say like, oh yeah, I'm gonna just be me. I'm gonna do me. But there are certain situations in which that will cost you, in which that will cost you more than what it was worth. You're still yourself. As long as you have your identity, like, as long as you have your internal identity, you know who you are. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything wrong with protecting yourself. Like, you know, if I'm getting pulled over, I'm gonna be a little bit more friendly. I'm gonna be a little bit more friendly. If I'm in a room, I'm not sounding like Carlton when I go into a room, even though there's nothing wrong with how Carlton sounds. Like, you know, a Carlton or a dude like that sounds, I always spoke proper, but mm-hmm. protection, there's nothing wrong with protecting yourself.
Yeah, I understand
that.
So,
and we have a history of having to do that.
Yeah, dealing with police is one thing. Like, those are isolated incidents where your survival, your livelihood is actually on the line. You going into work, your livelihood is not necessarily on the line because of how you speak.
I mean, it depends on where you work.
It does. Yeah,
mine is customer service, so I definitely have to. I have to.
But being professional and
being professional, it's
a difference between being professional and code switching.
Hey, I'm about to say, I think that might be the misunderstanding with the code switching, because now I'm thinking about it. It's like, you know, when you walk into a building, especially a workplace, you're not gonna go in and say, you know, what's up, my nigga.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying.
So it's like it's necessary. Mm.
But that's not code switching. That's being professional, like being polite. Like,
what's code switch?
So code switch is literally like, okay, you start.
I think we're getting mixed up.
So code switching is like when you start, your whole personality changes. Mm-hmm. Like, there's, we might not do it, but there are people that I know from inside of work and outside of work, they are two completely different people.
Yeah.
And it's not just like you're being professional here and then you're a little bit more relaxed outside of work.
Yeah.
No, the way your entire, like, your accent changes, the way that you dress completely changes.
Like
the jokes that you say are completely different.
Right.
It's just two different people. Mm. Or like when you are in, like, if you're at work, you have like your black people that you work with, then you have like the others. Is this when you are with the black folk, you can't, I guess, I don't know. It's code switching is really just changing how you interact with
people.
Depending on who's in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that like a natural, here's why I say it's a natural thing. When I'm with y'all, I curse like a sailor. I don't care, right? When I'm at work, I don't do that. Why? Because I'm at work, right? So, and then the code switching goes into, in my opinion, just watching what I say. And of course, kind of like knowing that, let's say I walk around and I sound like, and I sound negative.
Mm-hmm.
That is a negative mark against me. I know that. Like, if I have negative energy, it's like, what's going on? And I think it's based on our experience too. Like, my experience, I know that as I've experienced it, whereas, like, you know, if I'm not, if I, and this is a real problem with me that I have with our culture a little bit. I feel like in a lot of places there's no safe haven. When we go out there, we're trying to build and grow in a world that doesn't care about us. I think the gripe with a lot of black men is they don't have a safe haven to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's a lot of cases. It's not the minority.
That's real.
And when we go out into the world, we have to move in a certain way because we are not the majority. We are the minority. So we have to move in a certain way. So, yeah, the base level, I can't use curse words. My nigga, this, that, and the third. My nigga John was good, baby. Like, no, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to say, like, John, how are you? Like, you know, something. And I fluctuated my voice a little bit, but I'll be like, John, how are you? Like, this, that, and the third. Is there anything going on? Like,
but I try to.
But it's in my voice, but it's my language is different. Not right. My Lil Jon, how are you? That's me joking around.
Yeah, the tone might not change, just the language.
I try to implement that into my everyday life. So what I'm going through right now is I'm trying to enunciate, you know, better. I'm trying to use less slang, use less but when I'm at work, it's like spot on, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So what I'm trying to do is when I leave work, be able to keep that same energy, talk the way that I do talk. So I don't change it. I don't code switch, and I know we're not talking about us, but if you're at work, of course you're going to have different conversations mm-hmm. than you would just amongst the brethren, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And I think that's everyone. I think Caucasians do that as well. I'm sure they don't walk up to you, hey, what's up, man? You know,
yes, they do.
Nah, yeah.
to most. There are exceptions to everything that I'm saying.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying in majority.
And honestly, I think most white people will, seeing the black person in the office, mm-hmm. they're going to walk up to him and try to blacken up their little.
Everyone does it. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Yep. It's conducive.
Give me some skin.
Yeah. But it's conducive to moving forward and doing what you got to do to see the process.
But
through.
They're not doing it to advance in the company. Mm-hmm. They're doing it because they already know that they can treat you however they want to, and it's not going to be a repercussion.
Mm. Yeah.
Right. Well, so, and their way, like, we might think that it's cool, just silly.
Seconds. Right. But they want cool points.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not worried about my livelihood. I'm worried about cool points. Like, yeah, let me get cool with a black guy. He's cool.
Yeah. They're not code switching to feel safe. They feel safe, so they go and be and code switch.
This is an additional.
Like, yeah. When black people code switch, we're code switching because.
To survive.
Yeah. For protection. Yeah. Like, oh, I need to secure the back, so let me switch up how I'm acting at this job. Versus with my. I got white counterparts at work. They're from Ireland. The first day he came into work, he was like, oh, I speak a little bit different, so y'all gonna have to get used to the phrase that I use.
I like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
We can't do that. Well, I do.
I
do it.
You know,
but like when brothers. You go to work, how much of your personality is actually being left at that spot? Like, mm-hmm. he says grand all the time, like, as like good. Like, okay, I get it. But the first day he was like, I speak a little bit different, mm-hmm. so like, I'll explain what I'm saying, but get used to it because I'm not changing like the phrases that I use.
And that's a respectful way to approach it.
Yeah, because I would get used to it. You got no choice. So I think us, like you said, I think us as black men, what we can do better when it comes to code switching is just present ourselves as who we are. Mm-hmm. Learn who we are as individuals.
Yeah.
I think there's a piece to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to build our own stuff so that we can feel more comfortable, like around, like, you know, black owned companies, black owned businesses, things like that. Because, like you said, the dude was from Ireland, right?
Mm-hmm.
Still white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Still white. So
white, paper white.
Yeah. Like, so it's just like almost like he came in with almost a confidence. You think, like, okay, if he was in an all black environment, like or something, whereas he did not control like certain like aspects, someone who didn't look like him controlled certain mm-hmm. aspects, he'd be that comfortable? I say hell no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he wouldn't even apply for the company.
Yeah, you're much more you're much more comfortable when you look around and see like minded skin complexion.
And I think you made a great point earlier. When it comes to like protecting brothers and men, mm-hmm. it's like having that sense of community
mm-hmm.
and like really trying to find ways to either search yourself for one or either build one. Just to support more brothers and making them feel comfortable mm-hmm. and protected in their own pursuit.
Just because you use like you use certain slang or anything doesn't mean you can't be a productive citizen of society.
Yeah.
As what people, that's the thing. You understand that, we understand that, but then we work in certain institutions whereas they may gauge your intelligence. We see all the time on the news, like where they say like, oh, because this person has this hairstyle, they use this language, they have this bald, this deep, like thick Baltimore accent. Mm-hmm. They gauge their intelligence of a black person on that. So then that is almost even a deterrent to like even do something like that and feel protected in your job that provides your income, that pays your mortgage, that pays mm-hmm. your rent. Like, so you gotta think about it. I never fault somebody from doing what they have to do to make it to the next day. If they live check to check, if they have a job, I don't shame them because you have to, you're trying to survive.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking the methods to survive and which there are few and far between opportunities. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Like, not everybody's a business owner. Let me say it again. Not everybody's a business owner. Some people are employees.
Most people are employees. If everyone's a business owner, then there would be no business.
Right. Like, that's what I'm saying. You need employees. Proprietorships. But that's it. That's what you'd have.
Yeah, everyone can't be a business owner. But also, I mean, and when we talk about code switching, and really most, we just want to get past living to survive. Like, we want to be able to be free in the world. We don't want to have to wake up thinking, oh shit, I might not be able to pay rent this month, or my light's about to get cut off. Like, we just want to be, I think all of us, just black people in general, are trying to get past that step where everything is just survival.
You want me to tell you something? Black people think they can move like white people in certain situations. Asian people move like Asian people. Like, race, Hispanic people move like Hispanic people. And here's what I mean by that. They understand that they need each other. As a minority, they understand that there needs to be a certain system in play, like to work together. Like, you'll see an Asian family working in a single store together. Like, okay, we're going to sacrifice comfort, but we're trying to build up the whole. You're not my blood cousin, but you're from my country.
Yeah.
You're from my country, or you're from my village. So we understand that as a community, we need to build each other up. Mm-hmm. Whereas the majority white people, they don't operate like that. And because we basically take on their name, take on their God, take on their religion, take on everything, we feel like we move like them in a certain way. That sense of community.
Well, and white people do move that way. It's just everyone's white, so everywhere you go, that's your community. So you don't have to isolate yourself to only support white businesses, because 99% of businesses are white.
Right. Yeah.
So it's easy for us. But even if you break down white people, like, Italians will only be around Italians. Jewish people tend to only live around Jewish. So the only thing about us is we were brought here. Mm-hmm. From separate countries, separate cultures, and forced to be jumbled into one. Mm-hmm. So we're really not, even though we're all black, we're all not from the same tribe. Place of Africa.
Right.
We didn't speak the same languages. We just learned to speak English.
If you want me to be sick, we're probably all from at least five countries.
Probably more than five.
Probably more than five countries in Africa.
Yeah. So, and then when these other cultures come over, they were never scrutinized. They were never dehumanized when they came over. Mm. They came over as humans, and they built their own community. We came over as property and then became humans 130 years ago.
Yeah. We're not the only ones, though.
Yeah.
We came over.
Were we the first ones that...
No, but I'm saying they were here and then got dehumanized. We were dehumanized and then came here.
Right.
Everyone else came over as humans. So our path to being humans in America is different from any other culture that exists here. And then also, there was really no training period from when we were slaves to when we became citizens. It's just like, all right, y'all are free now. Yep. Learn how to deal with this shit.
But we still had so much ingrained in us, like, that was...
We had 400 years of being taught that we weren't shit.
Survival, like you said.
Your grandfather, your great-great-grandfather, not even your grandfather, your great-great-grandfather maybe had knowledge of your previous African cultures.
Not even that. Your great-grandfather was probably a slave, mm-hmm. which means he grew up, he was born a slave. So he, mm-hmm. and his father was probably born a slave, and then his father was probably born a slave. It's maybe 10 or 12 generations, 20, before we get back to the people that actually have, like, legit roots in Africa.
I think it's so foreign to think that, I think in our mind, we can't envision, like, what cultures our ancestors actually participated in, because we're so, like, disconnected, and that is a tragedy.
Yeah. And it's not, like, and the sad part about it is,
like, what your furthest ancestors were participating in, like, what they held dear before they were enslaved.
Well, the sad part about it is, it's in books, but what they say about black people, you want to hide something from a black person, put it in the book. Yeah. The knowledge is there. We just, we YouTube and everything else, but the actual shit that people lived through hundreds of years ago, and what their values and how their civilization was. So if we look for it, we'll find it, but I don't think we're looking for it.
That's real. This was definitely a good one. Even though we kind of switched it up to the code switching, I feel like it was still.
It's all about protection because code switching is really you only do it because you don't feel safe, so you're protecting yourself.
Word. Any other comments on? I was just thinking about what Sonny was saying, and it made me think of white ice is always better, something like that. You know what I'm saying? For when black people supporting a black business, they wouldn't do it because they felt like it would have been a better product from a white company. You know what I'm saying? Rather than supporting our own community and really just trying to build that. But that was just a thought for real.
Yeah, man.
Any conclusion? Any other thoughts?
My only thought is everybody should thrive to be free in the world. That's my goal.
Thrive to be free in the world. That's a big goal.
Always fuck with yourself. You know, continue to your only real protection is yourself and God. Not in that order, but you never will have. Protection if you don't have those two and then grow together as one because there is strength in numbers.
Big time. Sonny?
Protect your neck, black man. You know what I'm saying? Try to stay safe out here. Like, I don't have anything deep to that say, man. It's just that, you know, I still state that my spirit, I feel protected, but when I go out here in America, no, I don't. I don't feel safe. I feel like I need to take measures to protect myself from a harsh world that is harsher because of the color of my skin. That's my message.
Coach?
That was a lot of good ones, man. I really just got to stick with just, you know, surrounding yourself with great people that love you. Have faith. And just could keep pursuing the things that call you. And as you do that, man, hopefully the right things will come. And the protection that you're really looking for. Hope
yes,
sir. You find what you're looking for. All right, man. We're going to come back and just do the outro and stuff like that. Yo, Lil Wayne was the greatest rapper of all time for me.
Yes,
man.
It was.
Oh, yeah.
And, yo, like, I really, like, live, I wouldn't say die, but, yo, man.
Mixtape Wayne was unbeatable, yo.
Really, really. That's around the time I had my car, my first car, the Drought 3. Man, I couldn't tell me shit.
From like 07 to like 2013,
like
Wayne.
The meanest.
Yeah, man, I remember that.
First car, never the best car.
Yeah, it was a struggle, but we made it. Yeah. That joint was purple.
Yeah, man, I thought that joint was tight. Yeah, I was young.
Hell yeah. All right, man. But we just go ahead. Appreciate y'all for listening.
For sure.
Appreciate y'all support. Follow us on Instagram at WGB Podcast. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. All those small things, man, they really make a big difference in the work that we're doing. So we just appreciate y'all taking the extra step. And it's definitely going to be worth it. Anything else?
Shout out to y'all. I've seen you guys liking. I've seen you guys. I've seen comments, and I've seen our followers go up, and it's greatly appreciated. It's really pushing our algorithm further. So thank you guys a million times over.
That's a big one.
Yeah. Also, if y'all have anything that y'all want to see us or hear us talk about, go ahead and shoot us a DM or something. We'll try to incorporate that into our conversations.
No doubt.
Most definitely. You good, Sonny?
Yeah, I'm good. That's what I said before.
All right. All right, man. Till next time, man. Thank y'all for listening.